On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. State Senator André Jacques is a leading author or sponsor of more than 70 bills introduced to his chamber this year. And we're going to zoom in on a handful of those proposals, including how to address vaping. As of late last month, 47 people have died from vaping-related illnesses in 25 states and D.C., and that's from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. What do you think about indoor vaping? Do you vape, or do you know someone who does? Should indoor vaping be banned like cigarette smoking? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. André Jacques is a Republican state senator from De Pere. Senator Jacques, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's great to be back on the program.
So state Republicans, they recently fired the Ag Secretary, Brad Paff, by rejecting his confirmation. Are other members of Governor Evers' cabinet at risk of losing their jobs?
Well, you know, we continue to have full caucus discussions on a number of the other appointments. Of course, we've already approved several of the appointments, but, you know, there's certainly one that I did vote against at the committee level that we have not confirmed at this point, and there's others that there are some questions out there, but I really don't want to discuss too much of our confidential discussions at this point.
Do you support confirming Secretary Designee Caleb Frostman, who you defeated in your Senate election last year?
Well, I've very much enjoyed some of the interactions that I've had with Caleb. In fact, just a couple weeks ago at the Council on Workforce Investment, we did approve his appointment in my committee. You know, we haven't had a full caucus discussion on Caleb at this point, so we'll see where things are at, if there are any additional questions that have surfaced since the committee hearing.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who's campaigning for Congress, he's been talking about wanting to pass a tax cut before the end of the legislative session. What type of tax cut would you consider supporting?
Well, I've certainly supported a number of broad-based tax cuts in the past. I have legislation out there right now, which is unlikely to be considered outside of the budget process, especially because of the fiscal impact. But eliminating the tax on utilities for the remaining 6 months of the year, I think that's certainly something that hits everybody and could really help the family budgets as well as stimulate the economy. But we really haven't had a full caucus discussion by Senator Fitzgerald in terms of what a tax cut might look like at this point. But I think the important thing is that over the last 8 years, we really have a history of decreasing taxes and certainly holding the line on property taxes. And at the same time, we have seen additional surpluses to invest in a lot of different areas of our state budget.
How would you say the state could pay for a tax cut? Is it by digging into the reserves or by cutting government services?
Well, we've actually been expanding the reserves. In fact, we really didn't have a reserve account to speak of when I started in the legislature. Of course, it's grown many times since then, and we continue to put more money into it, and I think that's an important role. But really what we've been doing is just not taking as much money from job creators, from family budgets. I think it's something that we want to continue to stimulate the economy. So we're really not, having to pay for a tax cut. We're just taking less money from people, and we've continued to see our economy go in the right direction as opposed to Illinois, which has been heaping tax increases on its people and seeing them flood across the border into Wisconsin, which ultimately is part of what's helping us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Republican State Senator André Jacques of De Pere on the State Capitol Report. You can join in. What questions do you have for him? Do you live in Appleton or Kewaunee or Door County or another community that Senator Jacques represents? What is most pressing to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's talk about vaping. Your legislation that would ban indoor vaping seems to be in limbo. Fellow Republicans haven't scheduled the bill for public hearings. What do you know about their concerns with advancing this legislation?
Well, you know, just that obviously there was some initial resistance to the Indoor Smoke-Free Act. So I'm not completely surprised that we're at this point, but no, I don't expect that, given its current committee assignments, that it's going to be moving forward this legislative session. I know there's been a few articles written on that already. So I guess I focus on politics right now as the art of the possible, especially between now and the end of session. I think one very key thing that we can do on vaping is to restrict youth access to vaping. Right now, youth are able to purchase e-cigarettes and cartridges and things of that nature, not nicotine directly, but it is something that we're working on legislation. It's very bipartisan with the medical society, with the police chiefs who asked us to put this forward. That's with the state representative Janelle Branchen. But again, a very large and bipartisan list of co-sponsors. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get that through the process. I've had positive discussions with Speaker Voss as well as Senator Wongard, who I serve on that committee in the Senate as well, where it's been referred. So I think there's still a strong chance that we'll be able to have that pass yet by the end of session.
Yeah, in terms of the art of the possible, so the Senate Bill 364, which would raise the legal age for buying tobacco and vaping products to 21, you know, where do you stand on it, and does it have a future?
Well, I think, unfortunately, that bill, you know, there are a number of questions that have been raised on both sides of the aisle. I think it really is something where I would think we can have the discussion that if a product is dangerous, that we should work on restricting that. But an age delineation isn't necessarily something that really makes sense to folks when you talk about what other rights, you know, really happen at the age of 18. And boy, I think that's a tough sell to a lot of folks in my caucus right now, which is, again, where I think the large consensus is that minors should not have access. But once you start restricting legal adults from having access to a substance that you're not going to restrict from other legal adults, or putting other guidelines in how you would access it, you know, that's, I guess, where we're at right now, is looking at that consensus of, at the very least, we should not be allowing for minors to be purchasing the juuling or the e-cigarette devices.
So President Trump said he had wanted to ban most flavored e-cigarettes, but then he pulled back on that under pressure, including pressure from Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Would you support a ban on flavored e-cigarettes?
You know, I don't know that that's really an approach that anybody in the state has talked too much about at the state level. We did have a panel discussion at the Madison Club that I was part of where that really didn't seem to have much traction. I think ultimately the focus isn't so much on the flavors as it is on the product itself and making sure that you don't have that youth access. I understand part of what they're talking about. Certainly with tobacco, we've seen the marketing and the advertising directed towards minors. But that's not something legislatively that anybody that I'm aware of is working on right now.
You're with us for the State Capitol Report. We're talking with State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere about proposals he's working on and with his colleagues in the State Senate. Do you live in Appleton or Kewaunee, Door County, or another community that Senator Jacques represents? What questions do you have for him? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us, by the way, at WPR Mornings. The State Cap continues in just a moment with State Senator Andre Jacques right here on the Ideas Network. On this first Monday of December, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you have a line as we talk with State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere. He's authored or co-sponsored dozens of pieces of legislation this year. We're talking about a handful of those proposals, including one that seeks to establish sexual assault victims' rights in state law. A recent study found about one in four women at the UW-Madison has experienced sexual assault. Do you think Wisconsin should adopt a Bill of Rights for sexual assault victims? What needs to change about our laws? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere stays with us on the line. Let's look at victim rights. Other bills addressing sexual assault evidence have gotten traction in the legislature this year, but your Victim Bill of Rights hasn't received a public hearing. State Department of Justice officials say your bill would cost millions of dollars each year for DNA testing and evidence storage and victim notification services. What do you make of those cost estimates? Do you agree?
Well, first I would note that we did actually have a very good public hearing where we had victims and advocates testify in the state assembly earlier this year. I do expect that we'll be getting a Senate hearing as well. Yes, the first Department of Justice cost estimate did come out just before Thanksgiving here. It really was surprising because it was a rather hefty number. What my bill does, in part, it actually does a number of things that are going to help victims, but it does ensure that we're not going to have that kit testing backlog occur. And it's something that really eight other states in the District of Columbia have already put in place in terms of having a 90-day testing requirement that you would have the testing complete within that time frame for law enforcement. Again, something that we've seen elsewhere, and that really is the crux of the higher fiscal estimate that Department of Justice put out. Really, the advocacy organization that I've been working with thinks those numbers are absurd compared with the 20 other states, 20 plus other states that they've worked on this legislation in. But I think it's also something where the Attorney General had said earlier this year that they were approximately at 60 days in terms of testing. My bill only mandates 90 days. So as far as where all the additional costs are coming from, there's really not great substantiation. There's just a lot of speculative numbers that are thrown about in the fiscal estimate. So I look forward to sitting down with the Attorney General and asking him about that, or with relevant members of the Department of Justice, and see if we can find some way to get common ground and get that done, because I do think that there are just a number of things in this proposal that are really going to accrue to the benefit of our survivors of sexual assault.
And when we look at those numbers, $3.5 million for testing, $6.5 million for facility construction and equipment over 2 years, upwards of $1 million for storage costs, and then $250,000 for victim notification and a customized system there. Are you planning to make any changes to the legislation in response to these numbers?
Well, I mean, I think one of the discussions that we had already had was moving from 50 to 20 years in terms of the storage guidelines. But really, the reality is I've toured the state crime lab facility myself. These are not very large kits that we're talking about. It's, you know, about the size of a bread box. But it is something that, we're certainly open to looking at changes that make sense throughout the hearing process, and we've had some discussions already. But as far as where the Department of Justice's numbers are coming from, I do think that they are maybe without a full awareness of how this legislation would actually be implemented. But again, we'll have that discussion. But I do think that the estimates are certainly overblown. But, you know, I think it's important to note as well that there are costs to not having justice done. And when you look at the harm done to victims, to our survivors that continue to live with the sexual assault, there are cost estimates in terms of the lost productivity, the additional costs over the lifetime of a survivor, that if we don't have this kind of resolution and as well as empowerment of victims, we're going to see society much worse off. So it is something that we're going to be pushing hard for as the end of the session comes here.
We have on the line State Senator Andre Jacques for the State Capitol Report. He represents communities across Northeast Wisconsin. You can join in. What issues do you think our state lawmakers should be working to address? What bills are you tracking and why? 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now. Anne is joining us from Campbellsport. Hi, Anne.
Hi. You're discussing a bill to aid sexual abuse victims, and one of the key problems is funding. And prior to that, we were discussing Scott Fitzgerald's, he's running for Congress, so he wants to propose a tax cut. Why are we discussing tax cuts when we have so many worthy programs such as this that we should be funding?
Anne, thanks for the call, Senator Jacques.
Well, and again, I think what we've seen over the past several budgets is that as we've cut taxes, we've actually seen more money come into the state treasury. We actually have been increasing spending over the past several budgets, something that certainly not everybody is pleased with, even within my own caucus. But the reality is we've made a number of, I think, very smart investments in things like our justice system. Actually, one of the things that I'm very proud of in the most recent state budget is the pay progression and the additional prosecutors spread across the entire state of Wisconsin. I'm going to be meeting with the prosecutors again later this week, but it is something that I think has paid major dividends already in terms of the morale in our prosecutors' offices statewide. Certainly there's going to be a lot of opportunities for investment, whether that is in things like tax cuts that help the budgets of everyday people, or whether it's in any number of things that we can put additional funding into. Independent living centers, certainly I have a lot of bills that have a lot of those ideas out there as well. But certainly we have been making investments, including in the state crime lab in the most recent state budget, that I supported.
And I want to get on to some of your other bills. There are a lot here. One would broaden the definition of stalking to include text messaging and other electronic messages. The bill passed the Senate last month, now sits in the Assembly. If it's signed into law, when would electronic messages cross the line and qualify as stalking?
Really what that bill does is it updates our state statutes from something that, right now the written text, even though there are ways to prosecute it currently, if you have somebody who is using social media or sending text messages, emails to stalk and intimidate a victim, this is really better fitting those jury instructions as well as our state statutes to make sure that you don't have these novel defenses that have popped up around the state of Wisconsin, including situations where you've had even judges that have been stalked as well. So it's something that I actually work very well with the Attorney General's office in putting this this legislation together, and it was something that has been unanimous through the process, as well as a number of other bills that I have that are waiting for assembly action. Actually, one of them is on human trafficking and victims of sexual abuse that would provide more money for victim services. Of course, we have the animal sexual abuse bill as well. So I have a number of criminal justice pieces of legislation that we're hoping that the Assembly will act on by the end of session.
We had Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling on our program recently, and she argued Republicans haven't made a good faith effort to work with Democrats since the 2018 election.
Our colleagues in the majority party are really kind of stuck in the anger and denial and just will not give Governor Evers any kind of victory or win on issues. Bipartisan efforts are very difficult to come by, and I think the people of Wisconsin certainly deserve better.
Senator Jacques, what is your response to that criticism? Where is this gridlock coming from?
I certainly would expect those comments to be coming from a minority leader, but if you look at my legislation, you'll see that pretty much every single one of them has Democrats very involved as my lead co-sponsors and things that actually come from Democrats that I've worked with them on. We just had a bill that I put out for co-sponsorship this last week that dealt with pelvic exams and making sure that there was informed consent for women that up to this point have been, while unconscious, receiving pelvic exams by medical students where there's no medical benefit to the woman. So it is something that I have dozens upon dozens of extremely bipartisan bills that I'm hopeful that we'll be able to move on by the end of session. And certainly the ones that I just referenced, you know, something like human trafficking that was 32-0 through the entire Senate, had a number of Democratic co-sponsors, including Senator Lena Taylor, who put that out with me. But the special elections legislation with Senator Carpenter that Governor Evers actually included in his call for the special election in northern Wisconsin. So it is something where even the governor has taken note of my bipartisan legislation. Certainly he has with the bills that he signed so far, and appreciative that he signed my legislation regarding district attorneys as well.
Senator Jacques, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kate.
Andre Jacques is a Republican state senator from De Pere. Coming up, the state capitol report continues with Representative Amy Loudenbeck, who represents parts of Rock and Walworth counties in south-central Wisconsin. Do you live near Beloit, Janesville, or Delavan? What is happening in your community that lawmakers should know about? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Representative Amy Loudenbeck right after this news update. Stay with us. More State Cap here on the Ideas Network.